Australia, DX Extra. Welcome to the DX Extra show number 2. Hope you're all doing well. I'm Rob Wise from Hobart Radio International with you in Hobart, Tasmania, Australia. Firstly, thanks to the encouragement and kind words from listeners about DX Extra, a show all about the wide world of shortwave radio. We do have some changes and improvements to this show. Firstly, it will jump from 7 minutes to 15, and the best news to your ears, we will now be each fortnight, unlike initial plans for a month-only show. And also we will add a few home recordings of shortwave clips to show what is happening in the world of radio. So goodness at all levels. Let's first take note of the weather. NOAA's website tells us all about a new solar cycle. A new 11-year cycle of heightened solar activity, bringing with it increased risks for power grids, critical military, civilian and airline communications, GPS signals, and even cell phones and ATM transactions, showed signs it was on its way late yesterday when the cycle's first sunspot appeared in the sun's northern hemisphere, NOAA scientists said. The sunspot is like the first robin of spring, said solar scientist Douglas Biseka of NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center. In this case, it's an early omen of solar storms that will gradually increase over the next few years. A sunspot is an area of highly organized magnetic activity on the surface of the sun. The new 11-year cycle, called Solar Cycle 24, is expected to build gradually, with the number of sunspots and solar storms reaching a maximum by 2011 or 2012, though devastating storms can occur at any time. During a solar storm, highly charged material ejected from the sun may head toward Earth, where it can bring down power grids, disrupt critical communications, and threaten astronauts with harmful radiation. Storms can also knock out commercial communications, satellites, and swamp global positioning system signals. Routine activities such as talking on a cell phone or getting money from an ATM machine could suddenly halt over a large part of the globe. The New Zealand Tiramu Herald has an article January 11th giving the good news to us, the shortwave listeners. The appearance of sunspot 981 has been hailed as the beginning of a new solar cycle, meaning great things for shortwave radio enthusiasts. The discovery a week ago has been heralded as a landmark occasion by Tiramu shortwave radio enthusiast George Borer and university experts. However, navigational systems may be affected when the cycle peaks. A solar cycle and 11-year cycle is the engine and energy source behind all solar phenomena driving space weather. It also adjusts the discharge of shortwave length solar radiation from ultraviolet to X-ray. According to Mr. Borer, a ham radio operator, the cycle increased the density of the ionosphere, meaning greater clarification of radio signals bounced from it to other operators around the globe. For the past year, it's been tough for communication, but now the new cycle has started, it's something positive for us. The event had everybody talking, he said. However, if the atmosphere became too dense, problems could occur. The cycle is estimated to peak in 2012. So good news for shortwave and bad news for modern devices such as GPS, mobile phones, and satellite TV and relayed communications.
MON Radio, Kyle Rich was on the line. Joe, there were several significant announcements made by the sanctioning body this morning. The first was that all fines collected during the season by NASCAR will go for the NASCAR Foundation to benefit many of NASCAR's...
I asked a question to the DX Extra Digest as my favorite station, AFN, has recently been jammed by an unknown jammer or HARP, H-A-A-R-P, like radar utility. Member Ron Trotto suggested it was a new Chinese OTHR radar and sent a link to a mailing list archive. It reads, "Good day, top band operators. It has been common knowledge about the Chinese OTHR station for over a year now. Have invaded most amateur bands from top band up to 17 meters. Their persistence on 40 and 80 meters has been experienced by over 2 years. Reports and wave files indicate these OTHR transmitters have changed their type of modulation, how they key the transmitters as well as the pulse rate. Monitoring all these reports indicate major changes in their operations as well as equipment development. It is curious to note that their 40 meter operation begins below the low end of 40 meters and carefully go around the Chinese shortwave broadcast stations, then take up the lower portion of 40 meters. If they wanted to, the East Coast could be bombarded with this junk. It has already happened several years ago. For those of you who don't have any idea what these OTHR stations are, and look like spending a little time surfing the internet, there are plenty of pictures and equipment descriptions. When one is speaking, the perhaps thousands of kilowatts being pumped into antennas that are miles long, then it's no wonder how strong they are. Everyone should be aware of what is happening to the ham bands. Complaints have been lodged with the ARRL. Many hams have written their reprehensive in Washington. What happens then? I don't know. I have pleaded for the hams to write their reprehensive before the election about this situation, but no response. Before the end of the year, there was lots of complaints about the OTHR and jammers, but now hardly any reports, except for your recent complaints on top band reflector. No one seems to be listening. I think the main reason is that many of the bands from 120 to 20 meters is shared with other services. Therefore, nothing is done. The OTHR and the jammers are military, and they seem to do as they please. I used to work on 160 meters, but now have moved to 40 meters CW. But I share your feelings. If something positive is not done, many hams will leave top band, as well as other bands that have been infiltrated with this Chinese virus. Very best 73s and good luck. Oh, the WAV file of the 40 meter OTHR is a textbook recording. Bill, WA4FKI. And that's from the top band mailing list. This is an invasion by China on our airwaves, jamming up and preventing amateur radio operators from broadcasting. But as much of a concern as it is, an email from Glenn to our DX Extra Digest gives an answer to the question. I haven't mentioned this particular jammer lately, but it is not Chinese. It's North Korean against the clandestine from South Korea, Echo of Hope. Actually on 6348, has been there a long time. Stupid of AFN to pick a frequency right next to it, 6350. 73, Glenn Hauser. Stupid of AFN indeed. Of course, this is Glenn from the world of radio. I do wonder if AFN knows they are situated in a radio war between the two countries. I know I'm irritated as it's the only strong signal to get into Australia. AFN, aka American Forces Network, has had problems in the past, and still do. Their Guam evening frequency on 5765 is often jammed by gospel station WNQM from Nashville, Tennessee, as it says at hfradio.org. Yet despite this happening for years, AFN does not change to a clear frequency. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure out what frequencies are taken. And this station is not even from China or an overseas country. It's from America. Furthermore, the Florida frequency, 12133, is consistently jammed by stations on 12130. World Harvest Radio, Adventist World Radio, and Trans World Radio use the frequency for their broadcasts 24 hours a day. All three stations have coordinated their times for broadcasts perfectly, but again, AFN didn't notice. The other two frequencies from Florida also aren't immune. Often utilities will interfere, but on a positive note, normally 10320 from Hawaii is a clear channel. Let's just hope AFN really thinks about doing some frequency changes and research their choices for other broadcasters. It is becoming a major challenge to listen.
This is Radio for Peace International, Costa Rica.
In brackets, Hobart Radio International.
www.hriradio.org.
As I did my usual tuning around the bands, I came across an amateur from Victoria talking about reception and the interference by OTHR or radars. He doesn't think it's all China's doing. Radio Bulgaria has released a survey for its listeners, and it says from their website, "Have your say. Happy New Year. Since day and age, the coming of the new year has been a moment of introspection and reflection for many people around the world. Radio Bulgaria is no different, and we would like your help with this. We want to find out what we can do to serve you better in the new year and years to come. Please take a minute to send in your answers to the questions below. From the survey's respondents, we'll make a selection who will receive a few follow-up questions so that we can get more in-depth feedback. All email addresses will be kept private and all responses will be treated strictly confidential. The four questions are quite repetitive, basically asking why do you listen, how long, how often, and how did you find us? Please email your answers to poll@bnr.bg. Those who have sent in the most detailed answers will receive CDs with Radio Bulgaria's programs. Thank you for your participation." From the DX Listening Digest, an email by Mike Terry forwards an article published on the RadioWorld.com website. "The National Institute of Standards and Technology is considering setting up a U.S. East Coast low-frequency radio station broadcasting NIST time in binary code format to complement the present NIST 60 kHz WWVB broadcast. The proposed new East Coast broadcast will operate with the same time code format as the present WWVB signal, however, at a different carrier frequency, potentially at 40 kHz, John Lowe, the WWVB station manager, told RW, which is Radio World. 8 years ago, the power of the WWVB broadcast out of Colorado was increased from 13 kilowatt to 50 kilowatt, and has since been increased to 70 kilowatt, he said. But even at this power level, there are locations on the East Coast that have difficulty consistently receiving the time code. Some advocates say an East Coast broadcast would make the time code easier to receive, increase sales of radio-controlled clocks, and spur development of radio-controlled timing devices in appliances and other consumer products. Lowe is seeking comments about the possibility and asks that readers write to him. His email address is Lowe, L-O-W-E, at Boulder, B-O-U-L-D-E-R, dot NIST, N-I-S-T, dot gov. Again, L-O-W-E at B-O-U-L-D-E-R dot N-I-S-T dot G-O-V. It's time for the catch of the fortnight, a nice station to catch the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Commission on 5020 during the night time. Able to be heard in Australia when it goes dark, so around 9 UTC onwards. The daytime frequency, however, on 9545 is a challenge I will give you. I have never been able to hear them. Maybe you can. And if this news was not enough, we recommend The World of Radio by Glenn Hauser, the website www.worldofradio.com, and also DXing with Coombray, www.coombraydx.org. And Coombray is spelled C-U-M-B-R-E. Until next time, shortwave radio is still full of mysteries. Keep tuning and keep reporting. Take care and stay safe.